Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our time of worship this morning. A special welcome to those of you who are joining us online. We're so glad that we can sort of be together through this miracle of technology here in the room, online around your kitchen tables and in your family rooms. But we have one single purpose, right? And that is to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to do that together. So this is what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, "You are my God, and so I will praise you. You are my God, and so I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." God is certainly good, isn't he? Each and every day. And his love has covered us all. And that's why we're here, to say, "You're my God, and I'll praise you. You're my God, and I'll exalt you." So let's worship this Lord Jesus Christ, and let's do it with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength. Deal? All right. Then let's stand up, and let's greet one another as you feel comfortable. Welcome them to the Lord's house today.
Sun. come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, what a Savior we have.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He one? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. What a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord. Brought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was brought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
You may be seated.
All right, children, this is your point to be dismissed for children's ministry, so go ahead and make your way to the back and enjoy your time. All right, everybody, just a couple of announcements before we pray this morning. Just a reminder of the offerings today. There are two offerings places back there. The first offering is for the ministries of the church, and the second offering today is for the benevolence. So, may God bless you as you give. The ministry of this place does not go forward without your generosity. It does not go forward without your giving. And just another thing, it does not go forward either without lots and lots of volunteers and people using their gifts in different areas to serve other people. So there's a need for that. So we need children's ministry folks, nursery folks, video operators. Is that any of you? Are you sitting there thinking, yeah, okay, no, that's nice, but I'm not going to do that? Well, we need folks to do stuff. So if you're thinking about it, let us know. And we need volunteers. We need your gifts, and we need people to serve also in ministry. Another announcement, the Romans Bible study continues tonight in the fellowship room at 5:30. We have food and fellowship and a study around the book of Romans, so we invite you to be part of that. The football games are not that good anyway today, so come out tonight and Romans will be way better, okay? All right. All right, there's lots of things to pray about this morning, and we have an opportunity to now to bring some of those things before God. So let me invite you to join me in a word or two of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we turn to you this morning, bringing so many thoughts and so many feelings. And we just give you thanks that you invite us to pray, to express ourselves to you with words, and that you hear the prayers of your people. God, in a world that just seems to have gone crazy and lost its way, we come to you this morning, not just seeking answers, but seeking strength and seeking courage and grace for the days ahead. Lord, we pray for justice and peace to triumph in our culture. Lord, we seem to be a deeply divided people. So many seem divided and at war with one another, either through words or worse, through guns and killing. Surely we humans must test your patience, but we know that your love is all-encompassing and never-ending and always forgiving. And so now, Lord, hear our prayers and give us your grace. Lord, pour out your comfort upon us. There are many among us who are anxious, fearful, worried, depressed, sad. God, send your Spirit to comfort us with your presence, with the promises in your word, and with the hope and vision of new creation, a restored world where we have new bodies and there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain. We long for that new world, God. Lord, pour out your strength upon us. There are many among us who are weak and frail or feel inadequate, who feel overwhelmed. God, infuse our bodies and our minds with the strength that we need for daily living. Lord, pour out your healing power upon us. So many of us are tired, just fatigued by so many things. There are many who are sick or afraid of something that's happening in their body. Lord, there are many that we know, family and friends and colleagues, who are suffering with COVID, this virus that just doesn't seem to go away. Lord, we're exhausted by this and by all of the fallout that comes along with it. Lord, you are the great physician, and you care deeply about our weaknesses and our daily challenges. And so we pray that you will bring healing to all who are facing health challenges, that you will touch bodies, that you will restore those who are down and suffering, restore them to full health and strength. And Jesus, today, we are so thankful that through your death and your triumphant resurrection, that you have overcome the grave, that you have spit death in the eye, and that you have promised to raise us to eternal life. And Lord, the Myers and the Grable families are especially thinking about that today, in the passing of their dear father and grandfather this past week. And so, Lord, we ask for your comfort and peace, that you would hold in your arms Brian and Alicia and Jill and Micah and Dick and Kathy and their families. Lord, just let them know the power of the resurrection of Jesus and the hope of being reunited in the new heavens and new earth as you have promised. Lord, we are a restless people, restless and wandering, sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes hopeful, sometimes despairing, and we just need you. Every single day we need you. We know that, even though we keep forgetting. Remind us as often as is necessary that we do need you, but also that you love us. And so we pray all of this morning in the dear name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sorry, I forgot something down here. I'll be right back. All right, so this morning, we're going to continue our series on the I Am sayings of Jesus in the Gospel of John. We started last week and talked about the great I Am. Remember when Jesus said before Abraham was born, I Am. And then Jesus goes on seven more times in the Gospel of John to say, I Am, I Am, I Am. So Jesus wants asked his disciples a very simple question, but a very important one. And there it is. He once asked them, who do you say that I am? I think this is maybe the most important question that we could ever answer, right? The problem is that there are people who have, I guess, distorted views of Jesus. And we all, I think, have this tendency to sort of remake Jesus into our own image. And so we sometimes think that, you know, maybe Jesus looks like us. Or we think that maybe he has the same personality that we do. Remember we talked about that? And then I said last week that, you know, nobody's life ever got changed by an imaginary Jesus. And so in this series, we're just going to allow Jesus to speak and define himself, and we're going to listen to the seven times in this Gospel of John where Jesus describes himself with the words beginning, I am. And so today, we're going to look at the place where Jesus calls himself the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Now, that's in John chapter 6. We're going to get there in just a minute, but just a little bit of context and a little bit of setup. Just before Jesus said this, you know, I am the bread of life, just before that, Jesus performs one of his most famous miracles. He's around the Sea of Galilee. He's teaching this huge crowd of people, and there's not enough food. And somehow, Jesus takes these five loaves of bread and these two fish, and he feeds thousands of people. It's just this amazing miracle. And then the next day, Jesus is on the other side of the lake of the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. And all of these people who had experienced that great miracle the day before, they come to the other side, and they're looking for Jesus. Where are you, Jesus? We're looking for you. Because they saw this amazing miracle. And now, this is what happens next. We're going to pick it up in John chapter 6, verse 25. It's kind of a long passage, so I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit as we listen to Jesus in this great I Am saying, I am the bread of life. So, if you're able this morning, let me invite you to stand where you are. As we always do, receptively, open, to receive the word of God today. John 6. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, You are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And then we'll skip down to verse 41. At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How could he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." And then down to verse 51. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And that's God's word for us this morning. You can go ahead and sit down. So as soon as this crowd shows up and they find Jesus on the other side of the lake, the first thing that Jesus does is he kind of challenges their motives for coming to him. And in verse 26, he says, "You're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." In other words, Jesus says, "I know why you guys are here. I know why you're looking for me. It's not because you saw me do the miracle yesterday and you want to find out more about me and all of that. It's because you got some bread. You got easy food. And you're just hungry for more." And in the rest of the passage, Jesus basically says, "You guys are shooting way too low. Way too low. You need to raise your sights a little bit higher. Don't you realize," Jesus says, "that I can give you way more than you think I can?" And I have a feeling that if Jesus were here this morning, I think he would say the exact same thing. I mean, first of all, Jesus knows our motives. He can look inside. He knows our minds. He knows our hearts. He knows our motives. He knows why each one of us decided to come here this morning or to tune in and watch online. He knows what we're looking for in life. He knows. And he would say to us, I think, the same thing. You people are shooting too low. You're shooting too low. I know what you're after. I can give you far more than you ever thought I could give you. So if you're open to that today and listening to Jesus and let him expose your motives and set your vision a little bit higher on something a little bit bigger, if you're open to that, I think these next 20 minutes or so could really mean something. And so today, I just want to talk about two things. Keep it really simple, just two things, okay? Seeking a full stomach and then seeking a full soul. So seeking a full stomach and seeking a full soul. So let's first of all talk about this first one, seeking a full stomach. So Jesus says to the crowd, I know why you came. I mean, I know why you showed up. I know why you chased me down, because you want more bread. You just want bread. And as the conversation goes on, Jesus keeps trying to redirect their attention and set their sights on something way higher than bread. Verse 27, Jesus says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Now that term, Son of Man, right there, these Jewish people would have been very familiar with, because it's a title for the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Redeemer that God had promised to send, the promised Savior of the Jewish people. And the crowd now knew that Jesus was applying that term to himself. And they weren't really ready to believe that about Jesus, not just quite yet. In verse 30, they ask him, all right, Jesus, all right, what sign are you going to give us that we might know and believe you? What are you going to do? Then they say, you know, our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And of course, we all remember, right, the time in the Old Testament with Moses, how God provided for his people in the wilderness for those 40 years. Every morning, this little white wafer-like substance showed up on the ground. They called it manna, and they would pick it up, and they would eat it every day, and it sustained them with life for 40 years through the desert. So here's what these people are now saying. Say, okay, Jesus, feeding all those people yesterday, those thousands of people, that was pretty impressive. But what if Moses were here? No, he gave the people bread from heaven every day. So can you do that? Can you give us more bread? Because Jesus, if you start cranking out bread for us every day, we might just come and believe you. They just couldn't stop thinking about physical food. Jesus, just feed us. So in verse 33, Jesus says, no, listen. The bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. See, they're still thinking about food. They just can't seem to set their sights any higher than just filling their stomachs, than seeing what's right in front of their face or what's 5 minutes into the future. It's just immediate gratification. Jesus, that's pretty cool. Give us more food. We just want it. See, all through this passage, physical bread represents the tangible needs that we as human beings have. We have all kinds of needs, don't we? Obviously, food is one of them. Of course we need food, right? And we have all kinds of other needs. We need money, we need shelter, we need transportation, meaningful work, physical health, companionship. We need all kinds of stuff. So the bread represents kind of the needs that we all have as human beings. Now let me ask you, are those bad things? Are those bad needs? Well, of course not, right? They're not. Jesus doesn't scold these people. He doesn't say, hey, everybody, grow up and stop all this eating. No, Jesus, God knows that we need these things. We have stomachs. Jesus had one himself. He knew that God designed us with this need for money and clothing and companionship. And it's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. He wasn't condemning them for wanting to eat. He was challenging them for never thinking any higher than that. All you think about is your stomach. All you think about is your physical needs. All you think about is getting more bread. And Jesus is trying to stretch their vision way beyond that. Why? I mean, what's the matter with going after things that I need? Well, look at verse 27. It says, do not work for food that spoils. Anybody ever put spoiled milk on your cereal? You ever do that? Well, that'll wake you up in the morning, right? You just put that on and go, whoa, man, that's nasty, right? Do we have any milk sniffers here? Any milk sniffers? You know, you take the milk out, you kind of give it a little whiff. We got one of our kids does that and goes, man, this milk is like one day old. It doesn't smell good. It's kind of nasty, right? Some of us are milk sniffers because we know that milk spoils. It just does. You know what? So does everything else in this world. Every single other thing in this world has a shelf life. Good things, all good things, and we enjoy them and we need them and God provides them, but here's the thing. They don't last. They don't last. And here's what Jesus is saying. He says, listen, do not let your life be consumed by the pursuit of things that are going to spoil, that are going to wear out. Does that make sense? He says, don't devote the best of who you are to just these temporary things. And that's exactly what Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians 4. Listen to this. He says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The bread that Jesus gave them the day before was a really good thing. They needed it. We need it. But it's temporary. The houses and the cars and the jobs and the bodies that God gives us are really good things. We need them, but they're temporary. So when we focus all of our energy on those things, Jesus says, we're missing something really big that I can give you. So I remember the day when I was going to propose marriage to my lovely wife. I thought about it. I thought, she's the one. This is it. And so I was going to go out and I was going to get her the nicest ring that anybody's ever had. And so I saved money and I scrimped and saved and I went and I checked out the ring and I think I spent way more money than I should have on this ring, like more than half of my whole total savings. I bought this ring. This was it. This was going to be for her. And so I went and I asked her to marry me and I gave her this ring. And I think she was just so surprised and shocked and full of joy. Well, of course she said yes. Of course she did. But I just kept saying, look at this ring. Look at this amazing ring. I scrimped and saved and I bought this lovely ring and it's yours and I'm giving it to you. And I just wanted her to focus on the ring. But she kept looking past it. Why? Because she didn't want the ring. She wanted me. Everybody together. Oh. I know, it's sweet, but it's true. Full disclosure, she did want the ring. She really did. And eventually, she took the ring out and she put it on. She liked the ring and all that. But the main thing is that she wasn't focused on the thing that I was giving her. That wasn't it. That's not the main thing. It was on me. She was focusing on me, the one who was giving it to her and the relationship that we were going to have. You see where this is going, right? Jesus had provided these people with bread, wonderful bread, and he provides us with all kinds of good things that we need, physical health and houses and jobs and food and all that. But he says, don't focus so much on the gifts that you're going to end up missing the giver. See, because the gifts are temporary. And the giver is not. So if you spend your life working for food that spoils, a lot of people do, right? A lot of people do. They're working, they're striving, they're giving all their energy, and they end up giving it to food that spoils. If you spend your life working for food that spoils, giving the best of who you are, your highest thoughts, your best energy to your career, to your home, to your health, all gifts from God, but if you never seek anything higher than that, I'm telling you, you're going to reach the end of your life, and I have to warn you, It's going to feel empty. It's going to feel like there's something missing. Because all of a sudden you realize that none of that stuff lasts. And that leads us to the second thing here. Seeking a full soul. Seeking a full soul. This conversation is all about what we need and what we go after in life, right? And Jesus is reminding us here that we're not just physical beings. We're not just bodies. We are also spiritual beings. So even if our physical needs get fully met, right? We have a great house. We have an awesome car. You know, you go to the gym and you're all in shape and you keep your body going. You have great relationships and all those things going on. But you can have all that stuff and you can still have a starved soul because there's a spiritual hunger that remains. And that's what Jesus is saying here. To fill the spiritual hunger in your soul, you're going to need a different kind of bread. You're going to need the bread of life. And so for the rest of the message here, just briefly, let me try to unpack what Jesus meant when he said that. I'm the bread of life. I think these three things, at least. He says, you know, we need to think about what is it? What is it? What does it give us? And then how do we get it? All right, so first of all, what is it? Well, last week, I think we pointed out this strange teaching of Jesus, you know, that Jesus doesn't just claim to have answers and give us stuff. He claimed what? To be the answer. He didn't just give us bread. He is the bread. And that's an awesome claim. So in verse 35, he makes one of those claims. And here it is. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. In other words, the thing that your soul needs the most to be satisfied, the thing that will not spoil and go bad, Jesus says, is me. What you really need is me, not something I can give you, but just me. Isn't it interesting? I think it is, that Jesus was born in a town called Bethlehem. Bethlehem, which is a Hebrew word, Beit Lechem, literally house of bread. House of bread. Isn't that awesome? I think that's just God's little signal that this was the one. This one that was born is the one that's going to fill our souls and not just fill our stomachs. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. So if that's true, then what your soul needs most is not just a set of doctrines. It's not some principles or the right answers to all the questions. You don't need the Eightfold Path of Buddhism. You don't need the Five Pillars of Islam or the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People or even the Ten Commandments. That's not what your soul is really hungry for. Lists and rules do not fill a soul. Your soul is not hungry for joining the right organization. It's not even hungry for joining a church or learning the right kind of meditation. Because listen, the bread of life is a person and a relationship. And what your soul really longs for is to be in relationship with this person, with this Jesus, with this bread of life, connecting our lives to him and receiving the life that he gives. That's why Jesus says later on in John 15, abide in me as I abide in you. There's an abiding and a connecting. And Jesus gives us that personal relationship. And once we have that, let's just talk about what it gives us. What does having the bread of life actually do for us? And the answer, of course, is right in the title. It's right in the title. The bread of what? Oh, the bread of life. So in this teaching, Jesus talks about two ways that he gives us life. First, he gives us abundant life. Just abundant life. full life, life with a capital L life. In verse 35, Jesus says, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And of course, he's not talking about physical hunger and physical thirst. He's talking about a sense of inner satisfaction in our hearts and in our souls. That's what he's talking about. Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We hunger for life, real life, purposeful life, meaningful life, abundant life. And that's what Jesus offers. In John 10, verse 10, this is what Jesus says, I have come so that people can have life and have it abundantly and fully and running out their ears life. And here's the amazing thing. Even when some of those other needs are not being met, like for example, you're short on money, or you're having marriage trouble, or boyfriend trouble, or some issue at work, or you're fighting cancer, it ends up that those things do not destroy you because you have something deeper that's feeding you from the inside. And it's filling you in a way that physical things can't do. Jesus offers abundant, full, purposeful, meaningful life. But there's another kind of life. Jesus also talks about eternal life. Eternal life. Look at verse 49. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. You know, when you listen to the teaching of Jesus, he clearly taught that human life goes on. It goes on after we physically die. We are not just bodies and atoms and physical beings. We are spiritual beings. And I think instinctively we know that. We feel that. And we know our souls are meant for more than just 70 or 80 years on this earth. But here's the sobering part. Jesus taught that when we physically die, we will either be a spiritual being in the presence of God for eternity, or we will experience spiritual death, which means being separated from God for eternity. And that's quite sobering to think about. That's it. Jesus actually talked about this quite a lot. So in this passage, he says that the way to eternal life, the way to the presence of God forever, is through the bread of life. Whoever eats this bread, Jesus said, is going to live now and live forever. So Jesus says, stop running after food that spoils. Have the wisdom to realize that you're a spiritual being and that you need to fill your soul. And the way to do that is through the bread of life. It's through this person. It's me. Because Jesus says, when you have me, there will be a quality to your life. There will be a quantity to your life that you can't find anywhere else. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. So, final observation. How do you get it? How do you eat this bread? So let's talk about how to get it. Well, two things, right? There's God's part, and then there's our part. There's God's part, and then there's our part. So God's part is to draw us. Verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. And God is in the business of stirring in people's hearts, of creating this spiritual hunger, of drawing people, of overwhelming them with his grace, sometimes by bringing you to a challenging, difficult, scary place where all you can hear is the voice of God. God, help me. And that's God drawing you back to himself. He does this all the time, leaving clues, giving us indications of what he's doing and how he's active, allowing us to see it and drawing us and inviting us like a magnet to himself. God does this all the time. Let me just give you one example. A friend of mine shared this book with me a little while ago by Laman Sana. And you can see the title of the book and so on. Unfortunately, Laman Sana passed away about 2 years ago in 2020. But he was a professor at Yale University. He grew up in Gambia, West Africa, which is a completely Muslim community. But as a teenager, he felt drawn to Jesus. He tried to fight against it, but every night he would go to bed and it just wouldn't go away. In the morning, it would be back as strong as ever. And so he went out one day to walk by the ocean, and he said that it was as if he heard this whisper saying, "Don't be afraid." I just want to read a couple sections in his own words about how he experienced this pull and draw of God in his life. He said, "Like a gentle nod, a wave of anticipation rose in me as I responded feebly to a long-delayed invitation, like rejoining a journey begun before my mother conceived me. I remember the sense of a door opening and a reassuring presence sweeping into my life. By the time I reached home, my legs were heavy, and the next thing I knew, I was tumbling to my knees in prayer to Jesus, pleading, imploring, begging for God to forgive me, to accept me, to teach me, to help me. I got up from my knees with the feeling that I was waking up on a new day. It was a new feeling of release and freedom, infused with a sense of utter, serene peace. I could speak about it only in terms of new life, of being born again." And Laman Sana became a follower of Jesus, an outspoken, articulate follower of Jesus for the rest of his life. How does that happen? How does that happen to a kid growing up in an environment that is so hostile to Christ? You know how it happens? It happens because it's supernatural. It happens because the grace of God in Jesus Christ overwhelms people. And God draws and pulls us and invites us to himself. So that's his part. So what's our part? Well, look at verse 28. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And they just assumed they had to do something to get in on this, right? And then verse 29, Jesus answered, "The work of God is this," this is it, "to believe in the one he has sent." To just believe in the one he has sent. And there it is. God draws us. God overwhelms us with his grace. He shows us his activity in our lives, in the world. He reveals himself to us and leaves clues to himself in all kinds of ways if we're just paying attention. And then our part is what? Just believe. Just take Jesus at his word. Just entrust your life and your future to Jesus. Just organize your entire life and your family and your marriage and your work and everything. Organize it, all of it around Jesus, all of it. That's just what it means. It doesn't mean that you have to have every question answered. It doesn't mean that you have to understand every issue and have it all figured out. You just know that God is drawing you. You just know it. And you recognize the utter uniqueness of this Jesus. And you put your faith in him. I'm telling you, when you make that decision, when you take that step, God says to you, "No one can snatch you out of my hand. No one or nothing can separate you from my love." But here's the thing, we have a choice every day. Every day, we have to decide. Are we going to run after food that spoils? And there are all kinds of people in our world doing that. You can get in line and you can join the crowd and you can run after food that spoils. A lot of people doing that. Or, you can choose to eat the bread of life. To put your trust in Christ. To just allow His thoughts and His strength and His grace to just flow through you all the time, every day. People, listen, do not limit your life. Do not set your sights so low. Do not run after food that spoils. It's a losing battle. You're going to be disappointed in the end. But, you will never, ever be disappointed if you eat the bread of life. Let's do that. Let's pray. Our Father, what an awesome concept that the deepest satisfaction of our souls is met through Jesus, the bread of life. Lord, we are focused on so many things where we're pursuing ourselves. Not bad things, but we can let them crowd you out. And so we confess that, Lord. We repent of that. And our prayer today is, Jesus, fill us with yourself. Jesus, fill us with the bread of life. And may our passion be only for you. And then everything else fall into place. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you.
Coming this morning, may God just give you a great day of rest and family and filling you with what you need. Receive God's parting blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord draw near to you and fill you with the presence of Jesus. And as you sense the presence of this Jesus, may you feed on him, the bread of life, and find peace. Go in peace. Amen.
Yeah, those are good songs.
Yes.